My name's Sean Collier. There's Missy Marino, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Missy's here because Aaron's off telling jokes, probably, somewhere in America.
That's the hope.
That's what he does, as far as we know. What if he's in the CIA? Well, no, we've seen him do it here.
He's True Lies. He is Pittsburgh's Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
He could be in the CIA, though.
I think that's cool for him.
That'd be an interesting cover, but you would have to... Anyway, Aaron's not here. We are going to, a little later on, we're going to tell you about our childhood movie memories. I just made it and stared at you until you joined in after the fact. But before that, defending Academy Award winner Emma Stone and Steve Carell in Battle of the Sexes... We got things to say, I think. I don't know. Maybe we calm down. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth. Hopefully Ryan cut that, because I was like, did you turn your microphone off? And you were like, no, I didn't turn it off. It's on right now.
I was like, I know how to turn things on and off.
Right.
Because just that I'm a woman doesn't mean I don't know how to turn things off.
That's a good transition.
Thank you.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, September 29th, 2017. My name's Sean Collier. I am live in my own house for the second time. We're recording in my home. Welcome.
Thank you.
What do you think of the one room?
It is
you
quite
can see.
Thrilling. Thank you for keeping me in this alone, this room.
Yeah.
Because if I have free reign, who knows what cupboards I'll open and what things I'll uncover. Maybe your secret life.
Right.
As a wizard.
There is like a weird hidden room.
Ah.
But there's nothing in it but exactly what you'd expect, but like old movie posters and books. That's what's
from
in
the 90s, I presume.
There's a couple, maybe not that old, from when I worked at a movie theater in the early 2000s. There's still a couple left.
That's cool. Which theater was it?
The former Showcase Cinemas North on McKnight Road, which is gone.
Did you know that I'm a veteran of the movie theater industry as well?
Which theater?
Where would you think, based on the fact that I'm Aaron's sister?
Oh, the West Mifflin?
No.
Not the Century Square Luxury Cinemas, former life as a dollar theater?
Believe it or not, the Lowe's in Waterfront. I was in the first year. I was there as an usherette. That's what I generally call it myself.
They didn't call you that, though.
I mean,
it was like 1998, but we weren't saying usherette.
Usherette. No. It was actually, 2000, I think it was.
Yeah.
Remember, that's when the Waterfront opened and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was like the second year of it, so it was still fresh. And it was the year, the summer of when Gladiator was out.
Oh, okay.
And I would always sneak in and watch, Russell Crowe hammer down.
Swords and sandals.
I wanted to hammer down on my shift supervisor.
Oh, I thought you were like you wanted to hammer Russell Crowe. Who has a crush on Russell Crowe?
Oh my! Well, back then. I think so. He was kind of hot and mysterious, and then now he just is hot. No, he's just mysterious now.
Is he the one that beat up a hotel lobby guy with a phone?
Did he?
I think if I'm just ascribing that to Russell Crowe and it's someone else altogether, I'm sorry.
But I kind of like let's just pin it on him.
He was, if I remember correctly, he was filming a movie in America and trying to talk to his wife in Australia. And like it wasn't working, so he went down to the lobby to complain to the guy at the desk, and the guy was like, whatever, man.
Do you think the mic can pick this up?
Him. What's that?
Can the mic pick this up?
Your thumbs up? No. Oh, we're doing the gladiator. No.
Yeah. I've given him a thumbs down if that's the case.
To be fair, the hotel lobby guy was like, whatever, I don't care. Like, he was definitely a brat. Okay. But then Russell Crowe started beating him with a telephone, which is over the line. I think we can all agree.
Especially when you have the skill of beating something with, like, a rusty spike from Roman Greek times or whatever.
Right. What does this have to do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Other than we're at my house.
We are.
Because, I'm a little ill. And Missy had an early morning today.
We watched
the film last night, but there was a little snafu, as can happen.
That's the biz, baby.
And the screening started late, so we got out of there.
But
we
did get what?
We got a Ghostbusters pin.
Yeah, which I was going to wear mine, but you can't see it on
right
this
there.
Microphone.
You can't handle the lack of sight endemic to an audio format. So we're recording today. But... You start because
movie?
Right, because I like wrote my written stuff about the movie today, and so I'm a little bit this isn't
a
gut reaction.
Layman.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So here's my
visual
like view.
Like lame and
oh shoot.
Yeah,
are we allowed
go ahead.
To swear I won't?
Yes, no, you are.
Well, listen
you know
to this
that.
I won't go there yet.
Yeah. Let it happen naturally.
Yes, I will warrantly swear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where would you like me to begin? I mean, I did like it. And let me just get out the gate my big old bias of I love Steve Carell.
Okay.
I just love him. And his energy, I mean, now I really want to research this true story, which on that note, I didn't know this story. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
Darn my...
Well, it's before our time.
True. But as a woman, I want to know these little things that like made a big old cultural difference. And cultural district is what I was going to say, but I didn't. Also, if it's pop culture related and formed and was a big moment, I like to know that stuff. So I'm kind of like, thank you, filmmaker, who I saw was a male. You probably know the exact name. I do not.
I'll tell you in a second. I mean,
Sean,
there were... There, it's
no,
a,
I don't know.
It's a pair. There's
oh, okay.
a pair of them.
Oh,
and
Simon
it is,
Beaufoy. Is that how you say
that
it?
That is the... why
writer.
Did I open Snapchat? I went to look this up and I opened Snapchat. Like, that'll
You're
tell
such
me.
A millennial.
Simon Beaufoy is the screenwriter.
Yeah. So basically...
But there's a pair, a male-female pair of directors who are made Little Miss Sunshine many years ago. Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris.
There you go.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, so I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for like sharing this tale.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not like that young, but I'm obviously not that old. I just look the perfect age all the time.
Right.
It's called Noxzema. No, I don't use that. That's of the 70s. It's called tap water. You rub it in them pores. Yins are going to stay real young. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's the Pittsburgh water. We're giving ourselves lead exfoliation every day. Anyway.
We're like mummifying ourselves.
Right.
So thank you, PA Dept water. Yeah. Anyways. So I'm like grateful for that. And I'm assuming the energy of that original character, Bobby
Riggs,
is like of that energy, which again, I personally love actors that can bring that because he's obviously a comedy man.
Yeah.
Like a Second City vet like myself, not on the same level by any stretch.
Yeah.
But at least I got to tip my toe in the waters of Second City where he was like a big old fish.
Yeah. And we can talk about him first. I mean, it's very... One, he looks a lot like him. Like when we got the, hey, it's the end of the movie, so here's photos of the real people, which is like, I'm sick of that cliche, but now I need it.
They've trained us.
Yeah, you got to show me what the real people look like at the end. He looks exactly like him. But more than that, he did a really good job here. And sitting and thinking about it, the impressive thing was, this character is kind of Michael Scott-esque in that, you know, he's wants attention and he's got these problems that he's denying and he's kind of a blowhard and, you know, he's obviously very much a hype guy and a self-promoter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much more mature of a performance than Michael Scott was, because Steve Carell has become a better actor. You know, it's a refining of that character.
Or at least given the opportunity to showcase a range in the storytelling. Because actually, that's what I love about Michael Scott, not to go off about The Office.
Sure.
Ricky Gervais's interpretation of that role is so realistic that you're like, I literally feel bad.
Yeah.
Whereas as the seasons go on, Michael really was demonstrating his legit sadness of loneliness and true love in Holly. So I feel like he left in a good way.
Right.
But Steve, obviously, in with Big Short was phenomenal.
Yeah.
With I love that frenetic yet despairing energy that someone can whip up in the same body. And it's almost, it's to me resonant of like a Jim Carrey transformation where you're like that crazy wacky guy, but you get to see the, and obviously the master Robin Williams of this like duality.
Sure.
So it was so fun to see, but obviously it wasn't totally his story. And the,
I will get to her in a minute.
That's true. Okay. But here's my transition point in it. I noticed myself, I had to keep myself in check while watching this movie because part of me was agitated of like, ugh. I was obsessed with like, look, Emma Stone in a wig, Emma Stone in a wig, look, or in a different hair. That's her. She looked different. It's her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this could have been anyone. But I didn't have that same judgment towards Steve. I was like, look, Steve, he being Steve. Love it, love it. Then I was like, oh, snap, I'm doing that asshole thing where I'm being insulting to women, trying a different look in a role.
No, you're fine. No, it's fine. Okay. Because that was my because worry. He looked so much like him and she was like, they had to do some work to make her look like Billie Jean King. So don't beat yourself up for that.
Okay, thanks. Because I'm like, that could have really been, they could have reached further maybe for that role. Like maybe in, not necessarily a nobody, but like, did it have to be Emma Stone? Aren't there like some beautiful brunettes out there that, or some other
actresses? I think
actresses?
She's a natural blonde. I don't know what her hair is anymore.
The color matters, but it was just in my mind that I was, and because, are we allowed to go here yet or no?
What?
I mean, because you're staring at her so much in all of the romantic blah, blah, blahs.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it's like,
if you don't know, look, this is about the Battle of the Sexes, which was a tennis match between young champion Billie Jean King and washed up Bobby Riggs in the mid 70s. It's also largely about Billie Jean King's life and figuring out her sexuality when she was married to a man, but
so
started
exploring. So that's a Battle
exploring.
Of the Sexes as well.
Yeah.
Battle of her own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Themes.
Right. Good job.
Thank you. Do I get a B minus?
Yes. You're at a B minus and rising. I mean, before we move on to her fully, the only other thing I want to point out about Steve Carell's character and about, this is both the script and him, kind of the subplot with him, or the biggest subplot with him, is his gambling addiction.
Oh, right.
And I really loved that it wasn't like, I have a problem and I need to kick it. He was kind of like, I mean, I gamble a lot and I like it and like that causes problems sometimes, but you know, I know that people aren't crazy about it, but it was so much more realistic than, like, the after-school special, like, I need to overcome. It was a very, like, this guy gambles a lot, and it's going to be a problem for him, but it's, you know, it's not moralizing and kind of raining down on that character for that.
And
it would have been really easy to be like, he's flawed, see? And it's really just like, no, this is kind of just the thing about him. And that was refreshing.
I couldn't agree more. And the movie didn't like become about like, isn't gambling harsh? And delving into that unnecessarily. Like,
right.
You're right. It was just a thing about him. And if that one, there's a moment that I just loved that meeting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
that
yeah.
So
that's
great.
In the trailers.
And based on the content being like, women are going to rise up, and Billy's dramatic, da-da-da, he's a perfect compliment, the energy they give him. However, as far as gender goes, and as a woman, and just my some viewpoints on art, it, to me, was starting to slip into that trope of what I hate about King of Queens. Like, isn't the guy just so wackily fucked up? But the girl has stuff to deal with and has to be hold it in and be accountable and deal with the hard stuff. But let's cut back to the wacky guy. And there's not many times where you get to see the inversion of that. Like,
that's
where
true.
A wacky woman and then a guy who's trying to hold it together, except for the husband in this. But he was very one-dimensional and blah. So that's that.
Yeah, I mean, the comedy is on Bobby, on Steve Carell. Without you know, kind of getting into the weird stuff about his life,
yeah,
you can't even pretend it's a comedy anymore. They absolutely will pretend this is a comedy. And when it's awards time, be like, Battle of the Sexes nominated for Best Comedy. And it's like, is it though?
Right, because there's funny scenes. It's a comedy. Right. No.
Yeah, but that's the standard. That said.
Did you also think it seemed a little bit like, not to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Like, but men do it to women all the time, so suck it. I'm kidding.
No, that's why we bring you on, because you're not going to wilt in the co-host's chair.
I've been Munhall trained,
right,
and such.
Uh-huh.
But like, did you find his stuff to be similar to what was the SNL guy, Taxi guy, Andy Kaufman-esque type of antics? That's what I was feeling with, not Steve, but meaning that dude.
With Bobby Riggs? I mean, it's so much more like he tapped in early to the way that sports would be pushed in the 80s, you know? Or with Muhammad Ali's speechifying, but even more so than that. He just really figured out, like, oh, this is the era of color TV, and this is, you know, the making money off of stuff. You know, if you want to, we're going to find ways to turn sports into a circus, and that's what I saw from it.
Because it reminded me of like the wrestling matches Andy was doing,
sure, yeah,
and stuff like that. But this felt a little more cartoony on purpose, whereas
right.
Andy's, he loved effing with your brain of like, am I serious or not?
Yeah.
You know. But anywho.
You brought up Emma Stone. I want to get back to her because I liked her a whole lot in this. She, you know, I loved.
I actually love her as an actress, too.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing.
I loved her in La La Land. That said, when she won an Oscar for it, I was like, like, I mean, she did a great job. There just was not all that much to that part. And, like, nothing about her in La La Land was like, oh, my God, I'm blown away. She did a fine job with it. This was a case where I really felt like the way that she carried the weight of everything that was going on with Billie Jean King in that time period,
mm-hmm.
I really appreciated. Because she really sold not just, you know, discovering her sexuality,
mm-hmm.
but also like that she had kind of just by playing tennis become this feminist icon that there was a ton riding on her. Emma Stone really nailed that for me. Do you agree?
I mean, I think she's an incredible actor. Like, really love her. And because, of course, she's, you know, younger, seeing her in Spider-Man or this or that. But she actually won me over in Birdman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I loved her in that. I thought she was incredible. And so, forgive me for, I wasn't diminishing her work at all.
No.
And I have to be honest, but this could be a link for later, so I'll bring it up later.
Yeah.
So just remind me, hey, you have to have a link. Just say that, and then I'll be
say
like.
Say the word link.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. You get 5 You Can't Handle the Truth podcast points for saying link.
Shit, we have points?
I hate to tell you.
No. Yeah.
There's a point system. Anyways.
Yeah.
No, I thought she was so great.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you. She measured it out wonderfully, and I'd love to see interviews with that woman. But I was a believable temperament, and I just loved all of that. However,
because
of course I love to devil's advocate and whatnot.
Right.
Like, I don't want to spoil anything.
It's true facts.
Okay,
it's just history.
Well, it's about the conveying. The interpretation of stuff in the movie telling stuff.
I'll start talking and I'll cut you off if I have to.
Yeah, just do
If I go ahead, that means stop.
Okay, and take away some of my
can't handle the truth points.
I was like, can we all relax? I loathe the soundtrack, to be honest.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was just.
It was very like.
Dramatic.
Like soap opera strings.
Four, like, women were looking at each other and they were milking it so hard that I was like, we. Gang, get it.
Yeah.
Women like women sometimes.
Right.
Wasn't that, and we get it, but I'm like, what the hell is this story really about? Because they really drew that out. And so if you love watching lovemaking or whatever, not even just like under the sheets, but just with eyes, it was like, every scene was so like this. And I mean, sure, we're watching her discover it, but that's not the person she ends up with. And they just really were making people happy for a weekend, and I was getting irritated with that.
It's a long movie. It's,
did you see
just
my arms
over,
flailing?
A little bit.
That's why.
It's
I was
just
like,
over 2 hours, and there's certainly things they could have trimmed.
And it was
in there.
Pretty much that they were just overindulging it, and I was just it was making me. I'm like, remember, this is Battle of the Sexes. You are now stepping over the line of like, what's the word? Like exploiting two women who are forbidden to love each other.
Right.
So can you chill and let's chill on the music and every waking second is a drama of, but then cut to wacky Steve and isn't he so frivolous? It was just starting to get a little like that.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, explicit. Don't hey pervs, don't go see the movie because Missy said that thinking there's going to be a butt or a nipple because there are none that I recall. There's nothing explicit. It's just very, very drawn out. There's a lot of cuddling conversations, and a couple of them are like, "Did you need to keep this?"
If you were to graph out or like bar chart the movie, like there's going to be a large ass bar under like women looks. Whenever it's like, remember that time it was a Battle of the Sexes, and we want to see you guys fighting to get this made and all of that other ins and outs. Y'all wasting too much time on this shit because you're doing the very thing that women are like, can you stop over sexualizing every aspect of our existence?
Yes.
My beef.
I want to move on soon to our extra topic, but leave it with this and then we'll rate it at the end. So one of the things I liked about it, and correct me if you disagree, but one of the things I liked about it was that the subject matter is such a statement on where feminism was in the 70s and you know, great to make that statement again now and revisit this story in 2017 of all times.
Totally.
Because that's entirely what this is about, I think they held back and they restrained, and it did not go too over the top with speeches and hitting you with, you know, the injustice, and it just presented it in the right way. Would you agree with that? Was its politics and its approach in the right spot? Okay.
I would say
this is the noise period.
I think I love again that they brought the story to light, and I love when they were dealing with the story. It was interesting to watch the inner workings.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's not a documentary, so that's fine, all the little things. I just think I was getting agitated by not seeing larger, like a zoom out a little more. This was so much the Billie Jean falling in love story that I was like, you are missing the boat on these other women that are part of this league. I wanted to learn a little bit more about the league, not like, you know, the baseball movie. And I loved seeing the other nuances of Steve's character. I liked if the climax was these two oppositions coming onto court and playing.
Yeah.
They just were like, spent too much time with weird crap with her. And then we're like, oh, yeah, we have to get to the match. And it was like, so to me, and I only get nitpicky about it because I just wanted them to be more clearly defined on focusing on this great subject.
Yeah.
And battling out in like such a way. But I did like the movie a lot. It was entertaining. Right. But that was me being super, super. I think because we were also waiting so long. So my laser beam focus of like, what's this about? Was like tuned up out the max.
That's
so I did really like it. But and honestly, the Alan Cumming role, that to me was the like Hollywood from Mannequin or the like from Mrs. Doubtfire, the brother.
Yeah.
It just was a little too campy gay, and I was like...
It's interesting because forever, you know, there's been this very reductive and negative stereotype where that character is, like, usually the only black person in the movie. There's this black, you know, secondary character who pops in to dispense wisdom. And in this movie... It's that exactly, only it's the out gay guy or the out-ish gay
guy who's
their costumer, like pops up every now and then to say something wise or to like let Billie Jean know that he knows what's going on with her and she's got to be careful. It's very like,
It was a little too cartoony
now,
for me.
No, he was great.
He was good, but it was
he's
still
always
like,
great.
They wore their very crazy stuff, and they'd be like, girl.
Right.
It was just playing into the culture of now. And then lastly, to rip on that is, I forget. It's in that same world that I was just like, so if this movie is trying to, and I appreciate it touching on the LGBTQ scene and world and life, that's, I love that that's present, but now you're just pushing a little too far.
Okay.
And it's just like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. Like, they dialed it up too much, and it's like, you've now pulled in all these issues, so you have to deal with it. And that's annoying. And, oh, dang it. I had, like, one other good point about that. But I guess
we've
it'll
made
just,
enough points.
It'll go down in history.
We will.
I do feel fired up about this. So I like
good.
That it happened, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll come back and rate Battle of the Sexes at the end of the episode. Next week, Aaron will have some kind of episode for you on the Blade Runner sequel. I will be actually on vacation. Whenever I can't do an episode, Aaron's like, Sean Collier is on vacation. This is the time that I'm actually going on vacation, so I will not be there for that. Aaron will have something for you on Blade Runner next week. Missy, what do you want to plug? What do you have going on in your life and your public existence?
Public existence. I am the new talk show host of You Can't Handle the Truth podcast. So
is that true?
Where we dish out points. Okay. Is it? What's true?
All right.
But also, I will be appearing in Off the Record.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is a big, huge fundraiser that happens at the Byam Theater on the 13th of October that funds the food bank.
I was talking, I ran into Christopher Rawson today and was talking to him about you. Yeah.
Fabulous.
And Off the Record. Go on. That's not.
So that's fun. That highlights a bunch of Pittsburgh actors from all eras of time and bringing them together. It's like the umpteenth one. Who knows? So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, I'm doing, again, Chiller Theater, the musical.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, up at the Strand Theater, co-starring with Tim Hartman, who is a beloved Pittsburgh actor. So I'm excited about
Absolutely.
That. That'll be fun and funny. And that is the last weekend of October. And then Baby Grand, my music comedy partnership with Connor McCandless. We will be having a monthly show at Arcade like later this year and hopefully as months go on.
Baby Grand is must see as always.
Very fun.
I have stuff coming up, but I don't know what of it is like public and what is like a group show. So just look, follow me on Twitter at Sean Collier PGH.
Follow.
And you'll find what's going on. And okay, so I don't know why, like, when I was driving to the theater yesterday, I was like, what's something else we could talk about on the show? And I thought of you, and somehow it just popped into my head to discuss our early childhood movie memories.
Which is adorable. And when you said that to me later, I was going to say to you, hey, this reminded me of something from my childhood.
What?
This movie.
Battle of the Sexes reminded you of something?
Yeah.
So this is what I want, and tell me, but generally what I want to talk about and want to hear from people, tweet at us at Truth Podcast or at me or, you know, get in touch with us somehow. I want to know, like, the movies that you have, like, the fuzziest memories of from when you were, like, 3 and 4 and, like, that, like, helped you figure out what movies are.
Yes.
And that links to Battle of the Sexes for you?
Well, I guess there's two parts. Link is the second thing.
Right.
But first thing that I told you last night outside the theater, this actually gave me the buzz feelings of my feelings of when I saw Rocky and that whole, like, 1 through 4 as a kid.
Oh, okay.
I probably started those. My uncle showed them to me and my little brother.
So slightly adult for a toddler, but.
Well, let me say young as in, like, 2 years old. Just kidding. It was, like, let me think. Probably about 10. And so maybe that's not that young, but it was. Yeah. Enough that it made me hungry for, like, competitive sport movies where you see the hero rise up. So that type of thing. And these were, like, on my uncle's VHSs, VCR. And we would watch them as much as humanly possible. Maybe not. Well, sometimes, like, 3 in a row. Maybe that was to shut us up now that I think about it.
That's possible.
It is possible.
Uh-huh.
So for some reason, I just, seeing the era and stuff like that and the music and the drama.
Well, it's a sports movie with a big confrontation at the end.
And I wanted to
whisper
to you,
like, 1970s.
I really wanted to whisper to you, but you told me you hate when people whisper to you, and I controlled myself.
No, it's okay.
But I wanted to be like, I love when sports movies happen, and they're about sports.
Right.
So that's why I was also getting
irritated. It's a very easy way to get the audience invested.
Yeah, and I'm like rooting for someone. Right. Yeah, it's like, and you want to see, you know who you want to win is probably going to win, except for Rocky One when he doesn't. You're like, what?
Yeah, they got to throw you off every now and then. I just watched, I had never seen, this is for a DVE assignment, I just watched Bad News Bears.
I've never
they don't
seen
win.
That.
Spoiler. Spoiler 40-year-old movie.
News.
They do not quite win. But that's refreshing when they don't win. Because then you feel like you learned something.
Like, what is it, Karate Kid 2? No.
I've never seen any Karate Kid movie. Yeah, that's high on the list. I'm watching things. I'm trying to catch up.
Okay.
We're going there.
Because that is another formative one.
Again, people need to be careful what they wish for, because everyone's like, Goonies, watch Goonies. And I did, and it's a bad movie. So,
well, it's a bad inside of an adult brain in the millennial age.
Well, yeah.
So that sucks.
But like, anyway, I've done this enough. I've angered enough people with bad mouth and Goonies. So Rocky, but I mean, what are your earliest memories of being in a movie theater?
My first ever movie, I know it. I was 4 years old, and I was on a family trip visiting other family in Chambersburg, PA, which is like far away. It's like by Harrisburg, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive.
And in that theater, we saw E.T.
Oh.
So that's my first movie. And I was with my mom and my cousin. Uh-huh. Here's the Link segue that looks exactly like Billie Jean King.
Oh, so she should have played her instead of Emma Stone.
Yes, is what it all boils down to. So I have her headshot ready.
Right.
No, but her as a teen looks like Billie Jean. So during that movie, I was like, oh, that looks exactly like my cousin. So I was sucked in the 80s for a lot of this, that experience. But I bet a lot of people do, because that haircut and glasses look was a thing. Yeah.
I
what about you? What was your first movie?
I don't know it. For a fact, like, it's entirely possible. My earliest memories, and it's weird how you get glimpses of them, because, like, so I remember seeing the animated Peter Pan, which makes sense, because I just looked it up and it was re-released in 1989. And I feel like my grandmother took me, which makes less sense. But I have, it's certainly possible.
It's possible.
I mean, like, I just never knew her to go to the movies that often. But I feel like I remember my grandmother taking me to see Peter Pan when it was re-released, and just kind of like vaguely being aware. Because you're four, you don't really know.
Yeah.
But I have like one of those. You know how, like, that young, you kind of don't really have memories. You just have, like, snapshot moments.
Yep.
I remember being in the theater watching Ghostbusters 2, which also would have been 1989. And, like, I remember the conversation with, like, this. And I remember it because at that age, I did not understand the difference between a movie and a play. Like,
interesting that you even knew what a play was. Or cultured,
like,
son of a bitch.
Well, I just didn't like have a. I remember like not.
Oh, like
fully,
that they're not really there.
That they were not in the room with
me.
Gotcha. You know.
Yeah.
So and I remember all I remember about Ghostbusters 2 is when Sigourney Weaver is filling up the bathtub, and the water changes to ectoplasm, and I remember turning to my mom and being like, "So
that's
like
what's
just,
happening
but,
in my pants, mommy?
That's inappropriate for a four-year-old."
Anyways, go on.
Like, did you mean poop? Was
no,
that a poop
as in, like,
or a
no,
boner joke?
That was a boner thing, Sigourney Weaver in a bathtub.
Okay. Four-year-olds, though.
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Anyway.
Continue.
But I remember turning to my mother and saying, so, like, behind the scene, they do that because they just push water through and then they switch it, and that's how it makes that happen. So, like,
so
I didn't really know.
So you were already figuring out the magic of cinema then?
I didn't really know what a movie was, but I was already trying to figure out, like, behind the scenes, how the, you know.
And then did you go, goo goo gaga, you can't handle the truth, mommy? And she was like, son, you'll have a podcast someday.
I spoke much like this at the age of four.
This is your exact four-year-old voice.
Very, very little difference. So those are the early, as far back as I can remember, being in a
movie
theater.
A hilarious one.
Okay.
growing up as a wealthy Munhollian, believe it or not, we did not make it to the movie that many times.
Uh-huh. When and you had, if such... you're not in Pittsburgh, by the way, I guess oh, we yes. have listeners in Japan now, wow. according to the new analytics. So. Hagazaimasu, and sorry that you don't get all these local references. Munhall is not the wealthiest part of town. That's why Missy is saying this.
In Sean's opinion. But if you like Dollar General, then you will love Munhall. Well, maybe we didn't make it to the movie that many times. Well, one of the times I... So one of two times I remember my youth.
Yeah.
Youth, baby youth going. Because there's a time where you go as a kid, and then there's a time... that you go with friends, and that's a different era. And that could be like age 10, 12.
Sure.
And then that's a different experience. So I have two quick stories, and I promise they're quick.
Okay.
The other young one was my stepdad. I met him when I was like 4, and then him and my mom got together when I was 5. So during 4 is when they were dating. And, of course, he was figuring out ways to connect to me. And so he was like, I'm going to take you girls to Bambi.
Okay.
Not knowing it. And, of course... Spoiler alert, the mom dies, and my stepdad and I don't get along in life, so as a laughing track in my brain now, I'm like, ha-hoo, that was foreshadow in the story of
this,
reality.
This symbolized your later failings.
Pretty much.
Stepfather.
So, good old Bambi with the stepdad.
Right.
And then the other one was, I remember... my first childhood, like, preteen friend was Dawn, and I did, like, everything with her and her older sister, such as roller skating, eyeliner, blah, blah.
Right.
So I quickly...
The childhood things, you know, roller skating and eyeliner. You know.
1987 at its finest. One great memory was I remember calling my mom real quick because we were on our way to a movie, like Sean is tonight, and I was like, Mom, I'm going to be home late because I'm going to see a movie with Dawn. And she's like, oh, what are you seeing? And I was like, we're going to see Dirty Dancing. Okay, bye. And she's like, wait, what's it called? Click. And then I watched an abortion happen, but I just thought it was a tummy ache.
It's only that, not that dirty.
I'm like, ah, her stomach hurts real bad. It's bleeding.
How old were you for Dirty Dancing?
Let's laugh. Probably 11 or something.
Oh, that's reasonable. I mean,
to not know what an abortion is. I just
But I mean, it's not outlandish that you saw Dirty Dancing at 11. Like, I probably saw like The Shining and Scream when I was 12, 11.
That's interesting.
You know, I mean, it's Clyra's more sensitive to this. Clyra's like, my kids aren't seeing an R-rated movie until they vote for the president. But like, I think it's actually a part of.
Wait, no, I was 9.
All right, that's a little bit much.
Were there boning, grinding, and aborting?
I think 80s. There's plenty of times we go to a movie and we're outraged that a child is there. There was a 7-8-year-old kid with his mom sitting behind us at the screening of It. It's like, nope, you're failing. But like, once you hit like 11, 12, like when you're hanging out with your friends unsupervised.
True.
I do think it's part of growing up that like around that age, you see a couple things that are a little too adult for you. And it sets you on your way in one
That's
way
true.
Or the other.
That's
right?
So true. The movie is a Pandora's box of the psyche.
Dirty Dance? I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Well, that's a whole different Pandora box.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a lady box. I'm talking about...
What's her name? What's the actress?
The ectoplasm name? from below.
Right. What's the actress's name?
Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Daughter of Joel Grey.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's Joel Grey's daughter?
It is. And then she went ahead and got a nose job, so now no one recognizes her. But she always hated her nose because she had this big, crazy nose, which, P.S., I love it, and she was gorgeous and wonderful.
Yeah.
But that's on her. She can do what she wants, but she's with her own body.
Right.
But
like Renee Zellweger.
Exactly.
Not identifiably the same person anymore.
I know,
but you do what you want. It's up to you.
What's that chick, Mary? No, blah, blah, Flynn Boyle.
Laura Flynn Boyle.
She looks very different.
Oh, I haven't seen her recently.
Please, no.
Oh, no, I'll Google her as we're bringing this up. The other one I want to get to. So those are our early, like, in the theater memories.
Please tweet. Can people please
share
their memories?
Oh, yeah, please let us know. And at Psych It's Missy.
S-I-K-E-I-T-S-M-I-S-S-Y.
Not psych, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. But the other one I want to know is what are, like, and I'll tell you in a minute, but what are the VHS tapes that you, like, that you like wore out? Because I mean me and my brother, I know there was stuff that was just on every day until our parents hated us. The first thing was that like TV movie. It wasn't even a TV movie of Peter Pan. I don't know why Peter Pan keeps coming up. But the one with Mary Martin, mm-hmm. where it wasn't really, it was a film of a stage version. It wasn't really. That one we watched a lot. And then The Wizard of Oz, I think, came after that. When I was really young, I was afraid of The Wizard of Oz because I was afraid of the witch. But like,
when
I got to like 6 or 7, then we had like one that we had taped off TV. And this is what I remember distinctly, is the VHS, it was one of, I think it still happens that Wizard of Oz is on TV like once a year in the summer. Yeah. No one notices because no one watches
TV,
you know, network television anymore. But but I know that still happened at least about 12 years ago because I was stuck. My car had broken down outside Lancaster and I ended up at a hotel with like 4 channels. And one of them was showing the yearly Wizard of Oz night.
That's so, what a quaint experience. Yeah.
Anyway, I remember we had a taped off the TV of Wizard of Oz when it was on TV one year, and after it was an hour long documentary about Wizard of Oz, narrated by Angela Lansbury, who I think is still alive. By the way, I'll double check that.
Yes, she is. I know she is for a fact.
But and this is another one of those weird snapshots. I remember we would always watch Into the Thing. And then there was the point where I was like, okay, it's over. And like one day we just didn't get up to turn off the VHS and realized that we had all, like for a year, we had just been stopping at this commercial break. And there was like 40 more minutes of the Wizard of Oz documentary that we had never seen.
What?
And our minds were blown. Like, there's more of this. So
wow.
I'm realizing I was a movie nerd way earlier than I thought. I was obsessed with a Wizard of Oz documentary.
An old lady talking about an old movie is pretty damn old school in the brain before old school was like cool.
Yes.
Not saying you weren't cool, but I mean, everyone can do the math.
A different Peter Pan and then Wizard of Oz and then
interesting.
Eventually Ferngully, The Last Rainforest. That was more for my brother, but I was fine with it. Like I was acting
older brother,
like a
younger brother. Okay,
so I was acting like it was on for him.
Yeah.
And probably The Sandlot too.
Which that was one I never saw until like
spoiler,
later in life.
Missy's a little older than me. Just not to call attention to it.
But
when
I
say
come down on you with the Superfly Jimmy Snuka move
now
because you brought up such things because I'm a woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm kidding.
If anyone was curious, they could have put together how old you were when you saw Dirty Dancing.
This is true. Damn it.
Right.
Everyone, turn off your calculators and listen to this.
Yes, you're right. Laura Flynn Boyle does no longer looks like Laura Flynn Boyle.
She looks like one of the aliens in Men in Black that she was.
Which you can do what you want with your body. It's
true.
Fine. But like,
just gonna talk about it.
I do think that you should still look like the person you've always been. But if you don't want to, that's fine.
True. It's so true. But it's just an interesting observation. I'm glad you also can see that. Interesting development.
Anyway, those were my VHS tapes. What were yours?
Oh my god, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay, yeah.
Me and my brother loved that, and that was a time. He's 5 years younger than me, but
this is the live action one. If you're
the live action, the first one
with April and Casey Jones, and
So of course, I got the April doll, but my mom was cool, and she got a ton of the toys for us on our big Mon Hall budget. Remember, callback,
right?
Because we would both play with them and like fight over them, and I was like, I'm not just having April.
Well, Turtles was one of those like there was no gender divide in terms of
because it was an animal.
Of the fandom, you know,
right? Exactly.
It went, like even 5 years earlier, like it was a lot more along the like He-Man, My Little Pony, like here are the girls' cartoons and here are the boys' cartoons. Turtles was like, yeah, everyone just kind of likes this.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Which on that note, isn't that cool that with He-Man, they did bridge the gap by being like, well, here's She-Ra.
Right.
But they were very interchangeable universes. Of course, one really did get more colorful, which I did love. I hate to admit.
Yeah.
Because I loved growing up with a brother, and then I've just always been more scrappy.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to say this. And that's why I guess Battle of the Sexes and gets me revving up, because I've always been a quote, non-conventional woman. But what the hell does that even mean?
Right. Billie Jean King.
Yeah,
that's right.
But seriously, like, just because
you're entirely right.
Just because you like all things and can talk and have opinions, and some females maybe find themselves on the track of like motherhood and
dirty dancing,
that's fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, aborting and whatever. I'm kidding, but that is true. That happens in the movie. But whatever it is you do, I always hated being forced to have unicorns. Truth be told, I love unicorns, but I would love a unicorn that was dressed as a Ninja Turtle just as much as I would love a glittery rainbow one.
Tweet at us your childhood movies and any photos you have of unicorns dressed as
Ninja Turtles, which is now possibly my new Halloween costume, Sean.
Yeah, I do have to get to another film. That's my life. But before we rate it, your other VHSs?
Let me think. You know what, though? I actually still have a small stack that I...
Oh, yeah. I got a couple here somewhere.
Okay, as throwback. I see... Now, when I think of the youth... And we didn't have... Okay, God, I'm old. We didn't have a VCR, like, all those years.
Sure.
So let the divide
So it's rain. It's what's on TV that you were making a point to watch.
Yeah, which was always, like, the Saturday morning cartoons. But as far as movie goes, like, I do agree with Wizard of Oz. Thank God for those... See, and that's where the... world was a neater place because there were unifying things. So you had the option of like, this is that thing that's on right now, and everyone gathers around and watches it.
Well, and
which is so nice.
I don't want to get on this tangent, but like, I remember, I don't think this is a thing anymore. I remember every like December 1st when they would in the paper print, here's when the Christmas specials are on.
And you
here's
like,
the days they're
on
showing
this day.
Frosty and
Rudolph.
Charlie Brown and Rudolph. And it would be on the fridge for all of December, and you would be, oh, Frosty's tonight. And now it's like, do people just, like, whenever the kids need a minute, they fire up Frosty on Netflix? And
right.
And ABC Family. Fuck off, ABC Family. I understand that people watch Christmas things, but it's like, if you're showing nothing but Christmas movies for a month... Then none of them matter.
Thank you. None of them matter anymore. Yeah,
like a week maybe. Rojas does a great Christmas week every year, and like throws in a couple real, you know, normal traditional crafts, and then Die Hard or Gremlins or one of the like. This is a Christmas movie too, like for a week. But if you're doing, it's our 72 days of Christmas movies. It's like, oh, so they're all bad.
Please do. There's 365 days of Christmas movies. That's what they're gonna start doing, and you win 10 bonus Sean ranting points.
I'm going to look it up later because we have to go home. I bet there's a Christmas channel that like in certain cable packages, it's just Christmas.
And
content.
I shall audition for every movie.
Well, okay. Yes.
Because they
be delightful.
Are so like, and that's the thing that's funny with not to go off on this Christmas tangent, but it's like, oh my God, can we review one of those? Just a random ass Christmas movie that's like starring
I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
Samantha Smith and Bob.
Because I'm not making this up, right? Like, that's ABC Family for, like, from Thanksgiving to Christmas is nothing but Christmas movies.
Yep. At like least one featured a day, let alone the repeats going
on. One week where we have nothing going on, we're going to, like, get together with cookies and cocoa.
Oh, my God, be jealous.
And do it. This is our review of Holiday...
Holiday starring Holly Hunter.
Yeah. The name of the movie is Holiday starring Holly Hunter and Helen Hunt.
Oh my God.
It was an alliteration thing. What rating do you give Battle of the Sexes, Missy?
Out of 10. A unicorn.
A unicorn out of 10.
I give it
a 1 is you hate it and 5 is you have no feelings and 10 is it's the best movie of the year.
I would say a 7.
Okay.
Like 7.5.
I went to 8. I do really like the direction. Now that you complain about the score, I think you're right. Those are a couple of great performances up front too. All right.
This was delightful. It was great to be back after such a long hiatus.
Thank you for returning. And because you're back, now improvise the real Battle of the Sexes theme song to take us home. And scene.
You want to see a movie about tennis, but guess what? I promise it is better than The Dentist. You will not want to leave thanks to our friend named Steve, but I promise you, you will love it. You will love it. Ladies kiss, ladies kiss. You won't have to worry about your exes when you see boom, 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 Battle of the Sexes. Thank you.